In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Let me tell you, it is an urgent message. The message of salvation is urgent. People need to hear that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose from the tomb on the third day. Oh, people need to hear that we can have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ because he is alive and his spirit brings us to him. I'm looking at Sunday's readings, first book of Kings, start with the 19th chapter, the 16th verse. The Lord said to Elijah, "You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you." Elijah set out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, and as he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, he was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye. I will follow you." Listen to Elijah's answer. Elijah answered, "Go back. What have I done to you?" Elisha left him, and Elisha answered, "Go back." Elijah answered, "Go back. What have I done to you?" Elisha left him, and taking the yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh and gave it to his people to eat. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendants. I tell you, we need to know that the message is urgent. If God is calling us to preach the gospel, it's now, not next week. It's now. When I was in the seminary, by the grace of God, I preached the gospel on a Wednesday night at the Cenacle. Oh yes, it's now that God calls us to preach and to make known the name of Jesus. Yes, the name of Jesus. How we need to make known the name of Jesus. Today used to be the celebration of the blood of Christ. This is in the Tridentine calendar. The blood of Christ. Oh, how we need to know the power of the blood. It is that blood that releases us and forgives our sins. It is that blood that is upon us that we have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. Oh, yes, through the blood of Jesus. We're looking at the letter to the Galatians. We have to remember what was happening in Galatia. Some Judaizers had come and said that to be a real Christian, you need to be circumcised. For freedom, Christ has set us free. He set us free to be free. So stand firm and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. You were called for freedom, brothers and sisters, but do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather serve one another through love. Oh yes, Jesus calls us to serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Remember what Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, even unto death. But if I go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. I say then, live by the Spirit, and you will certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh is to get circumcised. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit. Yes, against the Spirit that gives us freedom. And the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Oh yes, we are under grace. I was watching Les Miserables the other night on television, and I saw the difference between the law, Javert, and grace, Jean Valjean. Oh yes, grace is opposed to the law. How we need to receive the grace of the living God. I'm reading from Luke 9, verse 51. When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, where he was going to die. And he sent messengers ahead of him on the way. They entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome Jesus. Why? Because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. The Samaritans worship on Mount Gerizim. They broke away from the Jerusalem temple. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked the Lord, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked James and John. And they journeyed to another village. And what do you think they're doing? He's declaring the kingdom of God is upon you. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no way to lay his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Let me go first and bury my father." But Jesus answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And to another he said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow is going straight forward, and looks to what was left behind, is fit for the kingdom of God." In other words, if the plow doesn't go forward, it goes to the left or the right and not looking, and there are rocks every place, and the rocks would what? Destroy the plow. So in other words, the plowman has to look straight ahead. "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Are we fit for the kingdom of God? Have we made Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior? Have we given Jesus authority over our life? Oh, yes. I was talking to someone today, and she had an encounter with someone. And this woman, who used to go to church and still does every Sunday, was very, very perplexed that my friend had an experience, an encounter with Jesus Christ. She said, "I go to church every Sunday, and I've never had this encounter." So my friend said, "Ask Jesus to reveal that to you. He'll do it." Oh yes, how we need to have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we need to have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that 10th chapter of Luke that talks about Jesus in Bethany. Martha is serving and Mary is at the feet of the Lord. She is a disciple. She gives her life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. She gets the anointing from Jesus to preach the gospel. I tell you, it's time for us to take the anointing to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking at Mark 8:22. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by hand and led him out of the village. Why? No faith in the village. He led him out of the village. I tell you, where there is faith, there are miracles. God knows how to work miracles, but it needs to have a faith community. We have a faith community at Holy Rosary. One lady and the other lady said to me, "We come here to Winthrop because we are fed. We come here because we hear the word of God and receive the Eucharist. That tells you how we need to preach the word of God in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees that are walking." So he must have had sight at one time. He knew what a tree looked like. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus himself, in this experience, had to pray twice. Oh yes, people say, do I keep on asking? Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking until the door is open. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, do not even go into the village. Oh, that village must have been the devil's hideaway, because Jesus Christ took this man out of the village and healed him. Blessed be God. Blessed be his holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Verse 27, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they answered him, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets. He asked them, but who do you say that I am? Let me ask you this question. Who do you say that Jesus is? Not who does Father Tom say, but who do you say that Jesus is? What is he to you? Who is he to you? Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Peter answered him, you are the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. In other words, Peter is saying, we want to continue in this ministry. Don't talk about dying. Don't talk about being killed. Jesus said, I rebuke you, Peter. This is the devil speaking. And I will go to Jerusalem, and I will hang on the cross. I will bleed for the people. I will bleed for people, and they will have access into the home of the Heavenly Father. Oh yes, it is by his blood that we are saved. It is by his blood that we are forgiven. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. You see, this is the way Jesus speaks. In other words, if you want to save your life, you need to give it to Jesus. You need to lose your life. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Do you let people know that you are a Christian? Oh my. We don't want to make people think that we have something that they don't. Well, you know what? If they have it, they'll rejoice. If they don't, they'll say, how do I get it? How do I get it? How do I get it? I tell you, it's not only in receiving the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also declaring the gospel to people. How do you do that? You share your testimony with them. You share your testimony with them. I have no testimony, someone's saying. Then you ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. He'll give you a testimony. Oh, yes. And in chapter 9, and he said to them, Mark 9, truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power. What do you think is going to happen now? 6 days later, after being in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. This is Jesus. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. He's scared stiff. Tell us to make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. It was during September or October that the transfiguration happened. How do I know? Because they wanted to erect tents. The Feast of Booths is in September or October, and that's when Jesus was transfigured before them. And one for Elijah, he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. When a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, oh yes, this is my son, the beloved, listen to him. Do you listen to Jesus? Do I listen to Jesus in the Word of God? Do I listen to Jesus in the church? Do I listen to Jesus in my heart? Oh yes, do I listen to Jesus? That's the issue. Do you listen to Jesus? I tell you, Jesus is called the Word. He is not mute. He speaks. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one else with them, but only Jesus. I tell you, Jesus is the fulfillment of Moses, the law. Jesus is fulfillment of Elijah, the prophets. Jesus is fulfillment of Elijah and Moses, the law and the prophets. As they were coming down the mountain, that's the Mount of Transfiguration, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had been raised from the dead. They have no idea what he's talking about. Son of Man being raised from the dead. They need to know that first he must go into Jerusalem, be rejected by the scribes and Pharisees, and hang on a cross out of love for us. We never will understand fully, even in eternity, what Jesus did for us on the cross. We never will understand fully what Jesus did for us on the cross. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean. Then they asked him, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? He said to them, Elijah indeed comes first to restore all things. How then is it written about the Son of Man that he is to go through many sufferings? Isaiah 52 and 53, Psalm 22, and he would be treated with contempt. But I tell you that Elijah has come, that's John the Baptist, and they did to him whatever they pleased, as it is written about him. John the Baptist was the Elijah they were waiting for. I love this next story, this next happening, this gospel happening. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and some scribes were arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe. Well, you know what? You can have all the awe in the world, but you've got to give your life to Jesus. If the awe comes so that you could give your life to Jesus, that's why the awe came. But there are people who had awe who lived for themselves. And they ran forward to greet Jesus. He asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" We're going to see why Jesus needs to die on the cross. Someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, and he has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." Oh, Jesus is going to get upset. He's going to get upset because he gave them the power to cast out demons. He answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you?" You see, when you don't have faith, poor Jesus comes up and says, "How much longer am I going to put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to Jesus. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, it has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him." I tell you, what the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes. "But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all things can be done for you, for the one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse, that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" Jesus said to them, "This kind can only come out through prayer and fasting." I want to invite people to the School of the Holy Spirit, July 14th to the 20th at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Oh yes, it's going to be wonderful. It's 6 days of being fed and being under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Between July 14th and July 20th, if you want to find out more about this, you need to go to www.daysofglory.org. You need to write www.daysofglory.org, and you can find out more about the School of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, we need the Holy Spirit, especially in these days when they call right wrong and wrong right. We need the Holy Spirit. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. It's the summer, and we are behind $15,000 to pay for the bills, and we need to hear from people. That's a lot of money. I've gone off some stations, and you know what? If we don't pay our bills, I go off more stations. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., East Boston, Massachusetts, 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.